Thank you, brother. So it has been... Can you believe it's November? I mean... Weird. Wonderful. I like the heat, but weird. Weird. It's not really November. But October was an interesting month for Apple Corporation. Anybody follow Apple or any of the stuff that happens with them? No? Oh, really fun things happening with Apple. They had a big lawsuit going with Samsung for months. Anybody hear about the lawsuit with Samsung over the Android platform? Yeah. And Apple was claiming that they'd violated all of its, that Samsung had violated all of its Apple patents. And Samsung was counterclaiming. And Apple got a ruling. They got a ruling out of this. $116 million, I think. Million. They were asking for $2.2 billion. But they got $116 million for Samsung's violation of the Apple patents. However, yeah. It has to do with their operating system, the what makes it able to do certain kinds of tricks with a touch environment. That was the patented software design. The whole issue was the software design. Was that violated? And the jury ruled for $116 million of infringement rights to go to Apple from Samsung, which... Of course, it's, you know, 1/20th of what they were, actually 1/22nd of what they're asking, because they were asking for $2.2 billion, and they didn't get it. So $116 million is just not, you know, oh, well. And interestingly enough, that same jury ruled in favor of Samsung that Apple had violated its patents and awarded... Samsung, $168,000. $1,000. Yeah, roughly like half the price of a condo in Tustin, okay? That's not even that, half, yeah. Of a studio condo in Tustin, right? Half of that. You can buy the parking lot. That's the parking space. That's it. So it was not quite equitable. But just a couple days later... A jury also awarded University of, I believe, Wisconsin an award against Apple for having violated University of Wisconsin's research on optimizing processing in a chip and awarded the University of Wisconsin $234 million. Yeah, cha-ching. So it wasn't really a great month for Apple with all those lawsuits, you see. What I find revealing about that is Apple has this massive concern about patent rights when its patents are being violated. Samsung has an amazing concern about patent rights when its patents are being violated. But if it comes to stealing from the University of Wisconsin, hey, we could probably get away with that. Which means that it's not truly the principle that is driving it. It is the motivation of self-interest. It's so odd, but revealing, that we have tremendously developed senses of justice when it's somebody else violating us. I think probably for me, driving on the freeway... Right? Do I need to say more? All those other people are cutting people off, but boy, that guy sure deserved me to cut him off because he would, right? This idea that we are acute when it comes to someone else messing with our stuff and our rights. But when it comes to us treading on someone else's rights, you know, well, that's smart. I set a guidelines. This is one of the hardest things to teach. Because I teach freshman level courses, but I also teach senior level courses, and I teach graduate school. And so none of them get the idea of plagiarism. But it's especially hard to teach freshmen, but the seniors, they're still doing it. And
Yeah, you're almost done with your master's in divinity and you're still plagiarizing. But it's hard to get across to people, this is not okay. They've seen this many piracy notices on their videos. And still, first thing you do when you want to see something, what do? I'm just going to go find it and download it from anywhere. I don't care. One of the things that I try to get across to freshmen is it's really easy to cite your sources. You just have to say so-and-so said, so-and-so thought, so-and-so proposed. It's like three words. Smith proposes, then you can say it. But there's this horrible temptation just to cut and paste what Smith said. As though it's your own. I had somebody, did I tell you about that? I had somebody turn in like 6 pages of a Harvard monograph as their freshman paper that they had just, you know, copied and pasted. Like, no, that's not a renowned scholar in this field that everybody knows her work, you know? That's not yours. But we have this confusion that because I have access to it freely, it must be mine. You know, if I can access it, it must just be public domain. That must have arisen spontaneously. It just grew on the internet like fungus. This paper just wrote itself there. And I don't have to tell anybody that I borrowed. You guys real? Okay. Oh, let's do a real quick quiz here. Let's do this. I wasn't planning on doing this, but we'll do it. You can just write it down in your mind as the true or false. True or false. If you change the wording in a sentence, it's no longer plagiarism. And you can use it copyright. 30%. It doesn't matter if you've changed all the wording. If the structure of the thought is the same, it's plagiarism. Because it's not the words, it's the thought. The words are there to reveal a certain construction of thought. The idea itself is copyrighted. That's the idea of a design patent. It doesn't matter if you change the materials. It's the way it was constructed that's patented. It's the design. It's doing. You can patent a process. The steps of doing something. We don't really get this. I think of it like silverware syndrome is what I call it. Okay, silverware syndrome is this. To a child's mind, silverware in the drawer is usable for anything. It doesn't belong to the parents. It is an accessible resource of tools. So spoons work for digging in the garden. Butter knives work for chopping wood, turning screws. Forks can be made into any kind of art you desire, right? Because it's silverware. Silverware is just in the drawer. If I can pull the drawer out, I can use it for whatever I want because, in essence, it's mine. Anything in the house actually is mine. I can go through anything, you know, go through mom's drawers looking for whatever. You know, hey, look, I made a Halloween costume. Yeah, that's about a $600 Halloween costume by my figuring, considering what you cut up to make it. But we have that idea that if I can access it, it's mine. I can use it. It's mine. So do you guys remember Pascal Bazel? Pascal? He came and he spoke. We did ministry with him in the Philippines. He's back in Switzerland now doing postdoc work. And he came out. He was speaking at the Fuller School of Intercultural Studies 50th anniversary. Blah, 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 blah. We went out to lunch. We had some fun. He said, oh, my publisher is so mad. Like because he edited a volume recently. He edited a volume. It had about 25 contributors to it. And he said, we used a lot of new authors. And they didn't realize, it wasn't made clear to them that once you publish that in a book, you can't publish it again somewhere else. And they had sold their articles to multiple publications at once.
And so the book that he had edited and published, suddenly the next year, three books come out with the same articles, slightly modified in other books. Which you can't do. If you're an author, you sold your work to the publisher. You can't repeat yourself. You lose the rights to even your own production. Because once they pay for it, it's theirs, not yours. That's that release of rights. Otherwise, it's like, yeah, I sold the car to that person, and then I sold it to another person. And then I sold it to another. You can't do that. It makes you more money, but you can't keep selling the car. One way to get it across to young people is I frame it in terms of art or music, you know, musical art. Imagine, just imagine, you know, you listen to Paul and Marty, you get inspired, and you just write down a little jingle, just some kind of, this kind of jingle. You're like, oh, I got this really cool song, kind of rockabilly with 80s. DX7 dropped into it. It's really cool. And you go down the beach and you're humming it and you run into Justin Bieber. And he says, you ran it. No, anyway. And you're talking, hey, Justin. And, hey, how you doing? And you go, I just had this song in my head. It's so funny. And it goes like this. And you sing it, right? 6 months later, Justin Bieber does a single, and it's that song. How do you feel? And he claims it as his. How do you feel? And it makes millions of dollars. How do you feel? That's not cool. Or you take a photo, and you put it on your own personal blog space or Facebook page. 6 months later, you see it in a Walmart ad. Hey man, that's my picture. That's my selfie that you used in your McDonald's campaign, right? Yeah, good. Yeah. It would bother you if someone took your art and did it that way. But it doesn't bother us when we pull it off of somebody else's webpage, does it? We turn it in with our stuff or modify it, turn it into a meme, Twitter it out, hashtag, hey, my plagiarism, whatever. It doesn't bother us. And so sometimes things like Apple getting slapped on the wrist with $230 million for the University of Wisconsin is a punitive act. They get punitive damage as well to punish someone in order to show everybody else, hey, don't do that. Sometimes I have to make examples out of my students. I hate it. I hate it. And every year I give the same speech. But whatever. Got a Bible? Please turn to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Look at verse 20. Now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. And they came to him with one accord, and having persuaded Blastus, unfortunate name to go through life with, Blastus. Was that you, Blastus? My name is Blastus. Having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace because their country depended on the king's country for food. Tyre and Sidon are coastal port cities, and the area of Galilee is a grain-producing area, by the way. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, the voice of a god and not of a man. Sincerely, not. Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and died. I like this story, yeah. I like this story. Part of it because he's a Herod, and the Herods are all just weasels. They practiced all kinds. Herod the Great murdered his own sons to keep them from being a threat to the throne. These people are all slime dogs. They would do well on the commodities exchange floor. Okay? Their typical business practice, which is what? Step on the people below you, claim all the credit, and move yourself forward. That's how business works. That's frequently how academics works as well. They're called research assistants. Okay? They do all the work. You get all the publishing rights. And Herod's just eating it up, and he's giving this speech. Oh, you're so good, Justin. I mean, Herod. And the angel of the Lord goes, enough. Notice that it's an angel of the Lord. It's not the Lord. There's just this angel who goes, done with him. You know? Didn't give God the glory. See, it would have been so easy to cite. It would have been so easy for Herod just to cite and say, I thank the Lord that I've been put in this place in which I can extort from you praise at the price of starvation. I enjoy that. He's just eating it up, and he doesn't pass on the citation at all. And when he doesn't cite, it's piracy. Turn over to Daniel chapter 4. This is another fun story. Daniel chapter 4. Starting at verse 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is a great guy, you know. Yeah. Emperor, leader of the Babylonian hordes. Notice the D there. Just got to make the Babylonian hordes. They would hamstring people. They'd cut off their noses, just like the Assyrians. They were cruel, vicious people. He's the one who burnt Jerusalem to the ground. Daniel 4:4, page 1593. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and prospering in my palace. I saw a dream that made me afraid. As I lay in bed, the fancies and visions of my head alarmed me. So I made a decree that all the wise men of Babylon should be brought before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers came in, and I told them the dream, but they couldn't make known to me its interpretation. Read here in parentheses, or wouldn't. At last Daniel came in before me. He who was named Belteshazzar after the name of my God. I mean, that's not arrogance or anything. Just rename people out. Yeah, your name's Daniel, but it's Belteshazzar now. After the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And I told him the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians. By the way, note that Daniel is a chief magician, not a prophet. That's a discussion for another time. Because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you and that no mystery is too difficult for you. Tell me the visions of my dream that I saw and their interpretation. The visions of my head as I lay in bed were these. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. And the tree grew and became strong, and its top reached to heaven. And it was visible to the end of the whole earth. Its leaves were beautiful and its fruit abundant, and it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, and the birds of the heavens lived in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. This is what's fun to listen to now. And I saw in the visions of my head as I lay in bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. He proclaimed aloud and said, thus, chop down the tree, lop off its branches, strip off its leaves, scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from under it and the birds from its branches, but leave a stump of its roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze amid the tender grass of the field. Let him be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his mind be changed from a man's, and let a beast's mind be given to him. And let 7 periods of time pass over him. This sentence is by the decree of the watchers.
Note again, this isn't the Lord. These are the watchers. Somewhere God has middle bureaucrat angels who handle his patent suits. There's like, you know, I mean, think about it. Microsoft has them. Apple has them. Disney is made of them, right? You post Mickey Mouse on the internet, and somewhere you're going to get a letter saying, stop that. And it wasn't Walt. It's these middle bureaucrats who are searching the internet for anything Disney, and they're going to send you a note that says, you better stop that. That's Disney. It's not Stan Lee who goes and gets you when you use Iron Man. It's the Watchers. And this is what is here, the Watchers. This sentence, verse 17, is by decree of the Watchers, the decision by the word of the Holy Ones, to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men, and it gives it to him to whom he wills, and sets over it the lowliest of men. This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, saw. Now note, is it really that hard to interpret the dream when he says, and I heard a watcher say, this is to humble this guy. Right? This is not brain surgery to interpret this dream. It's just that none of the magicians are willing to. Well, let's see. I don't know what that decree of the watcher might mean. Sorry. They know. They're just not willing to say it to somebody who's that arrogant. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was dismayed for a while, and his thoughts alarmed him. Then the king answered and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation alarm you. Because he's such a guy who keeps his word. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, may the dream be for those who hate you and its interpretation for your enemies. The tree you saw which grew and became strong so that its top reached to heaven, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth, whose leaves were beautiful and its fruit abundant, and in which was food for all, under which beasts of the field found shade, and in whose branches the birds of the heavens lived. It's you, O king. And all God's people said, duh, right? Who have grown and become strong. Your greatness has grown, reaches to heaven, and your dominion to the ends of the earth. And because the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree, destroy it, but leave the stump of its roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze and the tender grass of the field, and let him be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till seven portions of time pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. It's a decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You'll be made to eat grass like an ox, and you'll be wet with the dew of heaven, and seven periods of time shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men, and gives it to whoever he wants. And as it was commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be confirmed to you from the time that you know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may be perhaps a lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of his royal palace of Babylon, and the king answered and said, isn't this great Babylon which I've built by my mighty financing and by my shrewdness in business? Isn't this my Bentley that I got for me because I know how to run business? Isn't this my great house that we decorated because of my wit and capacity to be creative with things that I saw on Etsy that I'm not going to tell my friends that I actually borrowed it from somebody from Pinterest, right? Isn't this great thing that I did? As though there was nobody else contributing to it. Really? Really? Oh, he's welcome here, by the way. Which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty. I just see him flexing in the mirror going...
This is the guy walking by the plate glass windows that you see. Right? He looks back at his car as he walks away. You know. While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it's spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. And you'll be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he wills. Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of the heaven, till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws.
Isn't that gross?
He's like... You know? He made a minion look intelligent. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. And his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. And he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what did you do? And at the same time, my reason returned to me, for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me. My counselors and my lords sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right, and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to abase. Wow. Now that's a patent infringement smackdown, is what that is. This is worse than Milli Vanilli. Those of you who were around in the 80s, they got caught for lip syncing. They were a smash hit wonder boy band thing, duo. And they got nailed for lip syncing. It wasn't even them on their vocals. And exposed and humiliated. And the same thing here. He's exposed and humiliated because he wouldn't just cite. Just put page 286 on there. That's all you have to do is say Fritz 2011. That's it. 2 words. Actually, 1 word, 1 number. It would be that easy. But no, when there's that chance for us to grab it and the benefit go our way, no one will know. Just sight. We've been dealing with the core. And at the core of what it means to be a Christian is that we are the people who give appropriate citation to God. That everything about us has an ostensive function that goes... It just goes... And, I mean, it feels weird. And if you remember when you first started walking into the Christian world, it sounds strange that you go, hey, nice tie, and somebody goes, praise God. But the trouble is they mean that. Because if you really follow it back, where'd you get the tie? I got it at Bloomingdale's. How did you get it from Bloomingdale's? I earned money with it. How'd you earn the money? God gave me talents. He gave me breaths and heartbeats that I converted to a salary. Nice tie, praise God. You know? How many of you does Greg Thralls drive nuts with saying hallelujah? This guy, Greg Thralls, our head elder, man, you're like, good morning, hallelujah. So, Greg, you know, yeah, let's get a cup. Hallelujah. The donuts are there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It's just hallelujah. He doesn't even know how to say amen in his prayers. He says hallelujah. But hallelujah means a halal is a praise of God. Yah to God, to Yahweh. Praise God. Do we have donuts? Hallelujah. Nice tie. Hallelujah. Does God hear our prayers? Hallelujah. Is the sun shining? Hallelujah. Because fusion is still working by the design and grace of God. Hallelujah. That'd be a great annoyance to foist upon all of our relations. Better than using like for punctuation, right? Say hallelujah instead of like. So he was, hallelujah. Brother, you want to go down to Walmart? Hallelujah. And so I, hallelujah, said to him, you know, better than using like for that. If only. We saw in the section on good works. What? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Hallelujah. Oh, that was pallid. Okay. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works.
Hallelujah.
And glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Hallelujah.
That's it. Let your light shine. You're a city set on a hill that can't be hid. You're the salt of the earth.
Hallelujah.
That's what we're supposed to be. Ephesians 1. Listen to Paul here. Ephesians 1. And here, Greg Thrall's or the hallelujah in between. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places.
Hallelujah.
There we go. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love.
Hallelujah.
Well, come on. That we should be holy and blameless before him in love.
Hallelujah.
He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
According to the purpose of his will.
Hallelujah.
To the praise of the glory of his grace.
Hallelujah.
With which he has blessed us in the beloved.
Hallelujah.
Good. Now you got it. Hear that? To the praise of the glory of his grace. That this stuff is to the praise of the glory of his grace. That's citation. I mean, he says it more than once. He says it a little bit later on. He says, through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us all in all wisdom and insight and making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance. Having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the glory, to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. See, for Paul, it's like a sneeze. It comes out all the time. He has to say glory to God. Glory to God. To the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. And he talks about the things of God. He says, to the praise of his glory. Because Paul knew what it was like to be transformed and redeemed and washed. And he just can't stop saying to the praise of his glory. It's like being a sponsored race car. Right? If you're a NASCAR driver or an Indy driver, you didn't build that car, you didn't design that car, you didn't make the fuel, you didn't do the machining, you didn't do the engineering. You didn't make the racetrack, you didn't make the tires, you didn't even fuel the thing or put the oil in it. You sat in it, clipped in, and drove. And it's the thing that went 230 miles an hour with you trapped inside of it. Right? But you get out and they pour champagne on you. As though it was a Flintstone car. It's not. That's why on the side it says, Pennzoil. Because that's the one who backed it. That's the one who got the engineers. That's the one who put the whole thing together and made it happen. And you sat in it. Yes, you did a great job doing this. You know, that was really cool. And it takes a lot of skill to do this. But try bicycling on that track and winning. It's not going to happen. So you jump out and you enjoy it and you have a good time and you say, I really have to say thanks to Pennzoil. And they don't care that it's only, I just have to say thanks to Pennzoil. Even though they did the lion's share of the work, they just want you to cite them. Don't forget, yeah, we backed you. We made it happen for you. Appreciate it. So imagine God's logo all over you. By the way, it's called the Imago Dei. The image of God in humankind. Let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. All that you have, all that I have, all that we are, that makes us human, that makes us better than a beast, that makes us not like wild hair, like feathers and claws out there going, is this image of God in us. We didn't make ourselves. We didn't invent our eye color, our height, our intelligence, our skills, our anything. We didn't do it. Now we can use it, but we just have to cite. That's all. Not that big of a deal. 1 Corinthians, puts it this way. Paul speaking, I've applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what's written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you didn't receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you didn't receive it?
It's like somebody going, you know, I'm really wealthy. How'd you get it? Won the lottery. Took a lot of skill. You know, I'm a lot richer than you are. It was a quick pick, dude. You didn't even pick the numbers. You just put a dollar down.
Right? If we can grasp this, this is what I want to get across. Do you realize how free you can be? Do you realize how silly all of those petty insults become?
You're insulting me for capacities that I didn't determine about myself.
Do you realize all of that competition that's happening out there is silliness? It's just ridiculous. Because nothing that anybody ever achieves is their achievement. It's all patent infringement. All of it. The only issue is deicide.
Hallelujah.
You know? That's it. You don't have to compete. You have to establish yourself. You don't have to protect your social reputation. You don't have to deal with your persona online. You don't have to police your well-being. Just sight.
That's all.
You know the most revealing thing about it? It's really easy to sight when you love somebody.
Want to tell me if your kid hits a home run, you don't tell everybody that week that your kid hit a home run? You don't go, yeah, well, you know, I taught him.
If you love somebody, you want to honor them. My daughter, like, if she pulled off a 60-foot tube in Mavericks, she's like, I'd be like, yeah, all over Facebook. I'm not going to steal that glory. When you love somebody, you want to throw honor their way. You just want to go, yeah, that's my friend. Yeah, that's the one I love. I want to see them honored. I want to see them appreciated. I want to see them built up. It's really easy to cite when you love someone.
So I'll tell you the speech that I tell every
freshman. Here it is. Sight. Sight. It costs you nothing. It saves you everything. It honors the person that you got that from. It's morally responsible and ethical. It's what you're supposed to do. Sight. You don't want people stealing from you. Don't steal from someone else. Sight. If in doubt, sight. Just sight. Sight, sight, sight. And you won't flunk. And the more you sight, the more it tells me you did it the right way. Can we get the elders up? This is one of the ways that we maintain our bibliography. This is how we cite. We come over here and we kneel down and we grab the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Christ, and we say, I didn't save myself. I'm not really that good. I'm not that good of a person. I'm not that nice. And given the capacity to be holy, I can't. Everything that's in my life, I owe. I owe. Hallelujah. And God's people said,
Hallelujah.
Let's praise the Lord.